Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you have tuned into BBSRadio.com. Wonderful internet radio. This is a great station. And you're listening to Radiance by Design, which is a call-in show. This is an interactive show all about you. You and about me, and what we're learning to do is set our frequencies consciously so that we're a contributor, each of us contributing to the ever-increasing radiance of the human consciousness. I love doing this work. I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor, and in my work, I'm helped. The guides and angels have taught me so much about working with energy and how when you have energies sort of what we would call denser frequencies of reaction encoded in your body-mind, you live them out. Then you get stuck. We all get stuck, and we go, why on earth am I repeating these patterns over and over again? Well, guess what? You're like a computer, and these have been programmed into your body-mind emotional self. Why? Now, there's a lot of talk about the nature of the human beginning. And I believe it's Lazarus that I would say is one of the greatest teachers of it. But there are many other beings who also write about how human beings got started. And outside of Adam and Eve and the Bible, which I'm not going to go into, I love playing with these concepts that there were beings from other parts of the universe, very often thought to be Pleiadian, from the Pleiades, who worked with creating an experimental species on this planet. Now, there's a lot more lore behind that. There's some problems that they got into because of other planetary influences. And the Pleiadians came in and tried to resolve it and help humanity become kind of an interesting, a lot like Pleiadians, but we have a limited, we're an interesting experience, an experiment, where we have a limited lifetime, according to how our cellular structure has been programmed, a limited lifetime of, say, what it used to be, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. Now we look at like 75 to 100 years, and a lot of us believe that we can unhook those old programs and really create in ourselves the ability to undo the programming that we've had and live a whole lot longer. I don't know how much longer, that we can live a life of rejuvenation, we can live a life of proactive thinking our way through situations, creating with our hearts, our radiances. It's very exciting when you think that we're a species that has been programmed through our DNA, our cellular structure, our lineage, and so on, and we're actually confronting those limitations and really working with expanding and unfolding and becoming more of what we really can be. We're amazing critters of potential. We just didn't know it a lot of the time, and we're just beginning to unfold to understand it. So I'd like to play with you today. I hope that you're listening and wanting to call in. And on today's list of goodies, we're going to do a sound exercise to actually change the energy inside and outside of your body and change the ambiance or the energy fields in your household, in your car, wherever you are. How many of you have computers in your car right now? I bet you that's a new thing. I'll ask Bob here, who knows everything about computers, I think. They do? People do have computers in their car. So if you're listening in your car, welcome to. You might even want to call in and tell me about it. And I'm going to talk to you about creating energy changes using sound. We're going to call in the direction. I'm going to teach you structures. My guides are teaching us that, because I work with guides and angels, and I sit and channel and talk to them, and I get a great number of my lessons directly from them, sometimes as I'm working with you, various people. And they've taught us recently to create these structures, which are very powerful, healing, almost like a conscious, sacred geometric cocoon that we put around ourselves. And we spin certain things, and we can really enhance our ability to create our reality using these structures. So I'm going to teach you some of those, and we're going to talk about how, as we shift certain of the energy dynamics in our subconscious or in the collective unconscious, because each of us is really a microcosm of all that's going on out there in the collective. As we shift some of those, guess what? We shift, even a tiny bit, the ocean of collective thoughts and feelings, and who knows how old that is. What the guys are telling us today is it's moving extremely fast. So we're going to do shifting of some major archetypes today. We're going to do it collectively, en masse. I don't know how many of you are out there. Why don't you send me an email and tell me if you're listening, and then I can get a nice head count on who all's out there and what you're thinking about it and what you'd like to hear on Radiance by Design. So let's start. I'm going to start with, I don't know. We have so much to do today. Let's start with the structure, because the structure is actually quite complex, not after you learn it, but just to listen. So let's start freshly at the beginning of the show with these structures, and I want you to experience what they do for you. They can actually protect you, and they can be a safe haven that yourself can create. I hear that we have a caller. Perhaps we'll take the caller first, and then we'll do the structure. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hello, Veronica. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
And what's your name?
Yeah, it's Alexis from Ontario.
Okay. Hi, Alexis.
Hi. Thank you. I seem to have a spirit around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're trying to get a message to me. They've been moving things in my house.
Wonderful.
But I can't hear them.
You can't? You can hear them moving things?
No, but I see things moved.
Oh, you do? Do you actually see them in the process of moving?
No.
How much fear do you have, Alexis?
Pardon me?
How afraid are you?
Pardon?
You have a lot of fear, darling, don't you?
A lot of what? I'm sorry, I can hardly hear you.
You really can't hear me very well? Hang on a sec. We'll see if we can turn this up a bit. Now, can you hear me better?
That's a bit better, yes.
Okay. I said you have a lot of fear.
I have a lot of spirit?
No. Fear. F-E-A-R.
Fear?
Uh-huh.
No.
Well, what I'm seeing here is that, just a sec. The headphone is right. Okay, thank you. Can you hear okay now?
Yeah, that's better.
It's a trick, isn't it? Because all of us have a different level of connection, so we're just learning on internet radio how to balance things.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're showing here is that you have a very strong ability to perceive spirits, and you're not able to do that. And I feel like it's a block in you that's coming from fear. You have a strong spirit flow that's trying to awaken you. Awakening means dropping the fields at the edge of our body-mind so we can actually perceive beyond the third dimension. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I said you have some fear, it's like I see a tension in you that's very afraid of what's going on. I think it might be more afraid of what you can do, not knowing what to do to make things different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I've been working a lot on, spiritual stuff, and I don't know what to do.
Okay.
So maybe that's where the fear is coming from?
Yeah, it's more like you're tense around yourself and you have a beautiful spirit light around you, so it's not like you have boogeymans, you know?
Oh, no, I know. I've just been frustrated for the last couple of days because I know the spirit's here, I can sense their presence, but I can't hear what they're trying to tell me. And it's just I get the feeling that they have a very important message for me, and that's why I called you to see if you could
decode it.
Tell what message they're trying to get to me.
Well, we're doing our best here, and what it's showing is that, first of all, you, everybody at home, pay attention to this part, because if you can't hear or you can't see, there are other senses. I would ask for a sign, say, I'm really willing, let me know what it is you want. And sometimes it takes, I've said this before, it takes quite a while sometimes to clear up the communication with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
And before, when you called in, I used to see this kind of interesting, feathery, energetic light around you. It was angelic light. This time I see a being. So you're getting there. You're getting more and more specific, okay? And it's a male being, and I don't think he's very good at communicating yet either. He appeared.
No, I know. Mm-hmm. I got that too, that it was a male kind of influence there. But I can't.
Do you feel good around him?
Yes, very comfortable. I've actually been able to sense my angels around me.
Good.
And I know when something's okay because they're open,
uh-huh.
right? And then that's, like, there was one time, I'm pretty sure it was an entity pretending to be some, you know, an angel.
Okay.
And I just felt my angels go poof, close in, right in around me. That was awesome. It really was.
This one feels like it's from another planetary system. He feels more like an alien of sorts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I feel like he's friendly. He's just wanting to watch you for some reason, to learn things from you. He doesn't look like he's trying to give you a message like, do this or go there. He looks like he wants to know about your life and who you are.
Oh, okay.
And he seems very benign and understanding, but kind of lost, a little bit lost in his world.
Okay.
If I were you, I would just speak to him as if he's a person. If you had a person come into your house like that, how would you speak to him? I would talk like that and ask your angels to keep track and protect you, but they do anyway.
Okay.
You're being asked to wake up. And at that point, sometimes we attract in a lot of different things. Ask your friends, call him something if you like, and ask him to express if you can help him or, you know, something like that. But I think he really just wants to see what you're doing.
Okay.
And he's lovely.
So what I'm picking up as this being wants to give me a message is actually he just wants to communicate?
Yeah, he just wants to see what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
Like, what's life here like? Imagine that. If you had a chance to go to the Pleiades and you wanted to peek around and see what was going on, you'd probably pick someone who was resonant with you or radiant in harmony with you, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And you'd watch them, shadow them or whatever. He's not dangerous at all.
Okay.
And there's kind of a sweet friendship here. I think he's kind of shy.
He's been very subtle about trying to get my attention, like not shifting things around right in front of me or anything. But I'll, you know, like I live alone,
mm-hmm.
and I know when things have been moved that I didn't move. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that that's a pretty, not common, but that's not an unusual way of mm-hmm. making your presence felt, you know.
Yeah.
But he's basically from another dimension. He's very sweet. He's probably shorter than you. He has a really interesting radiance, a lot of yellow and white light around him, which would be intelligence and very gentle intelligence, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see him looking at you, I feel this open interest and curiosity. Very lovely, actually. So I'm not worried about you at all. Don't worry about... Here's the deal. Don't worry about getting a message so much as just respect that he's there and wants to know what's up. What's happening on Earth? Hey, what's happening in Canada?
Okay.
You might ask him for messages, you know, say, is there some way you can tell me about yourself? And be welcome. I don't think he's a problem at all. Your angels stand guard with you all the time. You're going to open up and find their presence very strong.
Yeah, well, I knew it wasn't a threat because I know, like as I said, I can now sense my angels around me and, you know, they're just, you know, he's inside the circle.
Yeah.
And what I feel, you know.
Yeah. But he wants to learn.
Is that what you see, too, that he's kind of inside the circle, my circle of angels?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's a traveler.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He's a lovely spirit.
Okay.
So thank you for your call, and if you stay tuned, we're gonna do the structure, which helps people create a protective environment and also enhance their energy flow.
Oh, good. I think you've done that before, and I've missed it every time.
Well, maybe you'd like to learn it and teach it to your friend.
Yes. Yes, well, if he's here right now, he can listen too.
You bet. Thanks for your call, Alexis.
Thank you very, very much, Veronica. You have a wonderful day.
And thank you. You too.
Thank you. God bless.
And now we're going to start with the structure. I've chosen the structure first because they take a little while, and if I have enough time, if we're organized enough, we'll do another one just at the end of the show. So take a minute and close your eyes, but now that we've found out that some of you are in cars. Do not close your eyes while you drive, please. But you could do this while you're driving, probably. Focus above your head, perhaps a mile and a half, and create there with your mind a beautiful golden ball, just a radiant golden ball. And create a matching golden ball about 10 feet below the base of your spine. Then from the upper ball down to the lower ball, drop a radiant white light, a filament of light. It's like a string, a wire. It's just radiantly bright. And you can feel it. You can feel it run through your spine. And now around your waist, perhaps 8 feet radius around your waist, create a circle of golden balls. Same kind of balls. They might be way tinier. I don't know. You can decide. Create them around your waist. And then from the upper golden ball, drop a myriad of very, very bright pink light. You can wait till I finish the structure, please. Just hang on and I'll be with you. Drop many, many pink radiant lights that come down to the circle of balls so that you're in a canopy and it's all bright pink on the top. And then again, do the same thing. Drop many, many pink lights from the circle of balls to the lower ball. And now you've got a pyramid pointing up, not a pyramid, a canopy pointing up and one pointing down. And you're inside of it. And you can actually feel the energy of being inside this wonderful structure, and it's pink. And now inside of that, here's a crystal ball, and it's an etheric crystal ball, a huge etheric crystal ball. And the edges of the ball touch the inside edges of the structure. And now when you're in that crystal ball, you can probably feel the feminine energy. It's a very soft, warming kind of energy. And now inside of that, there you are, and you're going to be sitting in a double tetrahedron. That's a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. So you're in a diamond-like structure. And now I want you to be just see the lines of this diamond-like structure. And spin it, so it's spinning round and round and round, and you're spinning with it. And whilst you spin, just imagine in front of you there's this wonderful screen. And on the screen, go ahead and put all the pictures of things that you want to, it's your vision board. Put pictures of everything you want to create. And don't make it just pictures. You also want to feel, if you want to create a car, for example, you want to feel yourself in the car. You want to create a marriage, you want to feel yourself loving and hugging and whatever. And if you want to create wealth, you want to see yourself receiving money and putting it in the bank or receiving resources or whatever it is you're receiving. See yourself doing that. And I like always to say self-love. I like to have feelings of personal evolution in there as well. And perhaps healing for other people. You decide. This is your vision board. And as you keep spinning, you add things to your screen. That's wonderful. Now, if you're doing it alone, you can spend as long as you want on that and draw back into center. And is your double tetrahedron still turning? Because mine was. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it gets tired and stops. But today it's spinning away. Great. Now you see what you've done is you've created a vibrational structure that will empower you, that will enhance your world, that will give you the best foot forward or a great foot forward to enter any kind of social reality. You will be empowered, you'll be protected, and you're also in a great place to do some manifestation. So we have a caller who's been waiting patiently, I hope. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Oh, this is Mike.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I don't know. I'm an energy healer. You know, people don't understand what I'm getting into because Kundalini arose on me when I was like 18 or 19, and Kundalini is dangerous. But on the other hand, so I don't do spiritual healing because it can escalate them too fast.
Hmm.
I'm just sort of trying to figure out what's going on.
How old are you now, Mike?
What?
How old are you?
I'm looking at my computer and trying to get my website up, And I've gotten a little frustrated. My mom is always saying I'm totally wrong because she comes from a scientific background. And I understand that perfectly well, and she's like 84 years old. But on the other hand, I'm autistic and I have Asperger's syndrome, and people have been saying I'm totally wrong all of my life. And
how old are you now, Mike?
I'm 53, born June 20th, 1953.
So what we're looking at is the fact that you're very cluttered at times. I don't know what you do to purify, but you really need to clean yourself up. You have a lot.
Well, I figured that out. I just haven't figured out how to do it, which actually is what everybody says. Is that I got into trouble because of the fact that the Kundalini stuff never caused me any trouble until I tried to clear out the autism. And then all of a sudden my hands stopped working well, my hearing stopped working well, and all sorts of things went wrong. And my balance went off. And but the major problem is actually like an autistic problem because of the fact that I don't have any ability to relate to people. And so I help people, and then they say, thank you very much. Well, that was nice, and that's the end of it.
You do a lot of healing work?
I do a lot of healing work, yes. I'll heal people on the street if they comply. If they say they have a problem, I'll just take care of it because I do energetic healing. I find the blocks in the bodies, I release them. And that makes it where they start functioning better. And so it's worked on migraine, headaches, all sorts of things. But on the other hand, it never gets back to me, and people don't understand it. And so everybody around here criticizes me because they can't understand. And my primary specialty is negative influences.
Your primary specialty is negative influences?
Oh, yeah, that's what I get rid of.
Oh, that's good. You've got some negative influences going on inside of you.
I know. If I could find them, I'd love to get rid of them. Autism causes them to be there from a very early age, and they're very well hidden, and they're very deep within the system. And so, therefore, trying to unearth them, as you've been growing energetically, so have they. And so, and as you becoming smarter, so have they.
But are you, do you go to healers?
What?
Do you go to healers?
Well, I go to healings. Actually, I've gone to a lot of healings. I've helped a lot of people at healing sessions. But on the other hand, I haven't noticed much effect.
Yeah, I'm just
their work. They're mainly Reiki type stuff, and Reiki is just loading energy on. And actually, I got enough energy. Actually, I tend to get called Energy Mike. And so loading energy on me doesn't work. But on the other hand, there are some basic blockages I actually know I have to get rid of.
I just keep saying purification, purification. I just want to send the violet flame running up through your body. You need to, I don't believe that you have entities that just have to keep growing with you. I don't believe that. I believe that you need to do a whole bunch of clearing. And it's really easy when you're working with people to continually stay in that cycle that you take on their stuff that keeps refueling the old energies. And you, you can do it with diet. You can do it with prayer. You've got wonderful guidance out there. You're just real frustrated, aren't you?
Okay, well, I know that something is releasing energetically because of the fact I go through a whole lot of hot sweats, which release at night, which release toxins.
You go through a whole lot of what?
Release toxins. It's like night sweats, and they stink when you're releasing them. And that means that toxins are releasing. Now, autism is actually supposedly caused, like Rebecca Carley says, by inoculations that were put into your body in early age.
Is that true for you?
What?
You can't hear me very well, hey?
Actually, as I told you, I have to actually, my inguinal canal tends to get blocked. And so, therefore, whenever it gets blocked, I have to put my hand up at the back of my head to make it where my hearing goes up.
Oh, my. Okay.
So I have some basic functional disabilities, but on the other hand, doesn't interfere with my healing ability and other people. It's just not doing me very much good.
You need a lot of help, Mike.
What?
You need help.
I know I need help, but on the other hand, I have a massive incapacity to get help.
Yeah, I just feel like you need to be cleansed and cleared. You need some detoxing stuff, and you need some... what's your diet like?
What?
What is
diet? I eat a fair amount of vegetables. I can't afford organic. Since I'm so spacey, you have a tendency to eat some meat because that's supposed to be good for you. But on the other hand, there's all sorts of negative stuff in the beef and the animals and things they sell in the commercial market.
Where do you live?
Melbourne Village, Florida.
Okay. I just feel like you just need, it's not that hard. You need to have some kind of hydrotherapy or some acupuncture or something because you've got a lot of stuff stuck in you. And as far as I understand autism, it kind of closes you in against the world a lot, doesn't it?
Right, yes, it does. That's the whole problem. Autism cleanses you, it closes you against the world.
Yeah.
And since I tend to be rather brilliant, the world doesn't really understand, and I'm closed against them. And actually, being brilliant is enough of a closure with the world because of the fact you don't think the way anybody else does.
Do you ever get body work? People put their hands on you?
Well, actually, actually, autistic people tend to get very bothered by being touched because of the fact that I actually can feel negative influences moving into me when I absorb other people's stuff very easily.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually one of the reasons why I'm an energy healer is that I can attract their shit.
Mm-hmm.
And my major problem is to defend against it so that it doesn't get in me when I'm going to work.
Where's your work?
What?
Where do you work?
Does it hurt? Sometimes. I can't do touch healing at all because of the fact that if I work somebody with severe diabetes, my feet will all of a sudden display the symptoms of severe diabetes.
Oh, I know. I can do that, too.
It's a day and a half to 2 days to get rid of it.
Well, I feel like you need to be in water. You need to be somewhere where you can have... Did you ever swim with the dolphins? That's supposed to be great for autism.
Mm. Okay, yeah, I need to get someplace where there are similar spirits around me.
Yeah, go to Florida.
Well, actually... Florida, especially Melbourne Village, is right beside it's like a square corner of the Bermuda Triangle, and it seems to be contaminated by a lot of egotistical people who don't want to grow.
But the thing is that you could go swim with the dolphins.
I guess I'd have to overcome my fear of the water.
Oh, but, you know, there's something about you that I want to... put you either in a flotation tank or a hyperbaric chamber, which is a high-intensity oxygen chamber, or water therapy. There's something that needs to be all around your entire body to get in alignment with it and shift it. And I feel like you could do that. And, you know, you're not far from the dolphin thing.
Okay, well, actually, I have read that dolphins are supposed to be excellent for autistic people. They seem to communicate with autistic people very well from what I've read.
Well, you may as well take advantage of that then. Because I
need to spend some money. I'm broke for my age, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing's working right.
But, honey, I think the problem is you're doing very good work at times, but the fact you're not getting cleared out, you end up blocking yourself over and over again. And I can see it. It's even in your third eye.
My third eye. Actually, it's strange because if you have the aura pictures that are taken with the new cameras that don't actually take aura pictures but read the Chinese meridian system and the basically it's the energetic potential of the body,
mm-hmm.
they show the third eye is the most powerful chakra that I have. Well, actually... if I'm dealing with a psychic, I can open up their third eyes like mad. But my third eye is actually almost practically closed. And not only the autistic
but
people
that's a choice.
Do not have the ability to move their eyes from left to right, like rapid eye movement sleep.
You don't have that?
No, because of the fact that muscle, when I move my eyes from left to right, I have to shift my whole body, and I have to shift my face and shift my skull structure. So I can't do rapid eye movement at all, and it's a standard clinical diagnosis of autism.
Okay. And you're very frustrated, I'll bet, eh?
Well, actually, my theory about it was just that, autistic people, I checked on it. I read palms also, and I said, well, okay. I did research on autism. I found out that you can find out whether you're autistic from reading palms. And there's a bunch of, 10 things to indicate whether you're autistic, and I had 5 of them.
Wow.
And one of the most prominent ones is the inability to do rapid eye movement.
Interesting.
Well, rapid eye movement is, extremely critical for normal human processing.
Hmm. That's what we do when we sleep, right?
Well, that's right, because this is the way you go into the dream state. And the dream state actually is how you re-normalize your body.
Hmm. So, but I feel like you could get help. If you can get yourself immersed somehow in some sensual, like water, it's a total immersion thing, or a flotation tank, or hyperbaric chamber, there's something in you that will move. At this point, you're still clouding up your inner with other people. And it's keeping your third eye shut, because your third eye does not want to go into that. Thank you. Right?
Yeah, okay, I can understand that, because I know there's definitely something there that is making it where the third eye is not working. It's not because I'm not running the energy.
Right.
It's just that I think that I learned to shut it down because when I was 5 years old, I don't know, 4 years old, I used to see monsters all the time.
Oh, right.
And I don't remember seeing monsters all the time, but I remember my grandmother asking my mother whether I still saw monsters. And I know naturally that my mother, being totally scientific, would have thought it was totally an illusion.
Right.
But actually, I feel monsters these days when I work with my hands.
Huh.
And so that's actually what I'm good at helping other people with. But on the other hand, I think I told myself at some time or another not to deal with that because it was causing me too much personal pain.
Right.
Because my family is totally unsympathetic with me.
Well, most of us who are on the healing traditions or the healing path have had to separate from family of origin at least.
Well, absolutely. I've read.
That's not unusual. I'm not saying it isn't.
Practically every book, either old or new, on healing.
Yeah.
And I realized that almost anybody who was in contact with psychic energy was massively suppressed by our society.
Right.
And the society worked very hard to try to stop it, and the more enthusiastically you endorsed it, the harder they pushed you down, and the stronger you learned, don't go near that, because you'll get hurt.
That's right. But here we are, so. Anyway, I have to go here.
Actually, if you're autistic, you really want a human connection, but it's very hard to get.
Yeah. Well, I bless your heart, and I know that you'll get that. Just keep clearing. You need to clear, that's all, and then reach out.
Well, yeah, actually, one of the problems is releasing the autism is actually causing me to care a lot more.
To what?
To care a lot more.
Oh, good. That's good.
I have a golden aura, but on the other hand, I shut down my feelings a hell of a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because I was getting hurt too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I knew I wanted to have support from people, but I couldn't really do empathy, even though I wanted to.
Yeah.
So I could just do intellectual empathy, which is not the same thing.
No, but you can also choose when you do the empathy after a while.
Yeah, well, you're right. When I empathize, I cure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's good.
But
anyway, thank you for your call. I'm going to have to move on, Michael.
Yeah, well, I know there's some people who are going to have to move on, but...
All right, darling. Well, just
okay. Well, I didn't expect you to have an answer.
I don't.
Dealt with a lot of psychics, and none of them have. And I think you're pretty good.
Thank you very much. So are you.
So therefore, I have to consider some of the alternatives you gave because you did give some different alternatives.
Great.
And you have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you for your call.
Oh, you have a beautiful night. Bye.
Right. That's a really interesting perspective. The autistic perspective is quite a trap for people. So let's all do an energy exercise together. What the guides were talking about is that we're creating community these days. What does that mean? It means that the social consciousness, which is in kind of a soup that goes around the world, and from which we take thoughts and feelings, we take attitudes, we breathe in everybody else's stuff, the stuff they left behind, if you will. And then the subconscious, the base chakra activity, and the second chakra activity, a lot of it is actually shared. And I see it in readings. When I look at the base of somebody's spine, you can see cultural imprints, like the Jewish imprint, or the Native American, or the...
On your right.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
Oh, we got connected here. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Were you trying to call in the BBS radio?
No, I'm on the air, and you're on the air right now.
Oh, my.
Hello? Do you have a call? Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Is this Ronnie?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let me just turn the radio off then. Yeah, this is Ted, Ronnie.
Hi, Ted.
Hi. Well, geez, I have something that's very positive, actually.
Good.
That happened to me. I did clarity breath work, which is this connected breath stuff. And I had such a opening, such a incredible peak experience that it was just absolutely astounding. And I've had great experiences with that before, but not this great. So,
can you give us a sample of a clarity breath?
Well, it's a connected breath where you don't pause in between, and you just kind of, it's an even breath with an even exhale, inhale, but there's no pause in between. And you do it, it doesn't, I don't know, this kind of feeling doesn't come to me until after quite a while of doing that, maybe, 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
And so anyway, my question is, I'd like to do it some more, and I'm not sure I really need a practitioner to do it, just maybe a lay person to sit with me, I'm guessing, and I'm not sure whether I should pursue it or not, but it sure feels good.
Did you get openings and awakenings with it? Looks like you woke up something.
Yeah, wow, it was something. I don't know. It felt like I was in other dimensions, and I could really sense my body, and every little thing could, you know, that I thought or focused on kind of shifted the sensation of it, to the feeling of it.
Wonderful. I don't think you need a practitioner, but I sure think you do need someone around. Because you can apparently go into, states. You need to have somebody around, so if you flip dimensions, you're safe.
Yeah, okay, because I was out there. Yeah, what I did, part of it was this kind of woman that was there that I hardly knew kind of looked at me with just loving eyes, and I just got in this great love. It was
oh, wonderful.
Awesome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was.
Did you marry her?
I'm sorry?
Did you marry her?
No. I didn't do any big connection yet, even afterwards. You know, it was just a great thing at the moment. It was just incredible.
Wow.
So I don't know. I was thinking about maybe developing. Well, and sometimes I don't do it correctly, and, a practitioner needs to be there to kind of get me back on track.
Do you have instructions? But anyway, it seems like the greatest problem is if you do it all alone. You need someone there to make sure that you don't slip into another state and not have somebody there.
Yeah,
apparently,
no, I
really
had
moved
that alone a long time ago on a vision quest, and I had a good experience, but you're right. I think there is some kind of danger there a little bit.
Well, you might feel more confident if you know that if you travel too far, somebody's there to guide you back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because you have the opportunity to shift out of your body doing it.
Yeah. Now, would
that's
that be
good.
A way? I mean, I feel like I'm in total control. Is there I want to play with colors. I want to play with different thoughts, different movements. You know, all that, I guess, is
wonderful
things to play with, I suppose. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
So it's called clarity breathing?
Yeah. I don't think it was particularly that particular thing. It was because it's like the Indian fire breath or the holotropic breath work or the rebirthing. It's they all do basically the same kind of breath.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So I just thought I'd get your, you know, thought about it.
I love it. And I just picked up my cup of tea, and my tea bag has this saying on it. And it says, the moment you love, you are unlimited. And you just told me that.
Yeah, that would be a good way to go, wouldn't it? Just
yeah.
See if I could just love the person that's with me or love somebody around me or whatever.
Well, you had that real hit of love from that woman you don't know. I mean, that's pretty powerful stuff.
It was. It was, absolutely. Yeah. It was, I would say, it was probably about 3 times more intense than an orgasm.
Oh, you're kidding. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Was she an exceptional person or just a member of the class?
Yeah, she was just in the class. I hardly knew her.
I'll tell you what.
And I had a nice thing with it. There was a guy, too, that was there that was very, I had some, it was a difference with the male energy versus female energy. Oh, it was just great.
Well, you know what it looks like to me is that in the breathing process, you shift consciousness levels like by a long way. And
yeah.
That love is so available in other dimensions, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I mean, it's just,
well,
yeah.
I'm glad you phoned in and told the story. I love that a lot.
Yeah. So you think maybe I should go for love and rather than all these other experiments?
Yeah. Why
yeah,
not?
That was the most intense thing. That part of it was awesome.
Well, all of our evolution leads us to being able to love anyway and experiencing it.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's the only thing we take with us when
wow.
we move on.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, bless your heart. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks, Ronnie.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know, that was a good call. We're talking about community. We're talking about the global consciousness, the consciousness that we all share, the human consciousness, the collective conscious and the collective unconscious. And what he was talking about reminded me that indeed, all of us are learning about love. When we've dropped a lot of our issues and our defenses and so on, what happens is we have a capacity for love that is beyond human. And it's really hard to sustain that. But guess what? I think with all, and my guides were talking about it before this show, that with all that we're doing and the changes that are going on, and the frequency changes, because everything on the planet is moving at a faster rate, not just because we've marketed faster cars and media, but because the energies that are driving our thoughts and so on, all the frequencies on the planet are moving faster and faster. And what did I hear? That we now live like a day and a half in a period of 24 hours because the whole time change is faster and faster. And the thing that's happening with so many people becoming awake or becoming conscious that, for example, we can create our reality or our thoughts and feelings are very active creators on the planet, and we can create our life, we can create our health, we can perhaps unlimit the programming that gave us limited lifespans or name all these different things. Guess what? The building blocks of human consciousness as we know it are changing. We're pulling out certain things and enabling ourselves to go to a higher frequency and to have higher capacity for healing, for healing problems amongst people, for creating and designing the kind of society we would like to live in. We may not be doing it yet. We still have shoot, shoot, shoot 'em up TV going into our brains, and we're still acting that out. But the guides are even saying that the killer instinct, which we knew, the reptilian instinct, was very strong in our species, and we needed it some hundreds of thousands of years back to just maybe 20 years back, who knows, just to eat and so on and defend our position. A lot of that, the guides say, are shifting, and on a mass community level, we're moving, and that doesn't mean everybody. That means that some of the waves are stretching to a greater consciousness of a win-win for everyone, and it doesn't have to be a dog-eat-dog world, and we're pulling out of our survival issues that need to kill or be killed, but more moving into the huge consciousness, the ability to create a world that we want. And I've read so many different approaches on it, and if you read all the predictions that go on, you finally get dizzy because they're not about the same. The predictions that are the same are that society is going to change radically. What does that mean? That we're possibly bringing heaven to earth after a certain point. What does that actually mean? And so when I talk to my guides about it, it's really interesting. I keep seeing over and over again, it's like we're going to have concurrent realities. There's going to be a split. This is what I'm seeing, okay? There's going to be a split in what's going on, meaning people who really believe in dog eat dog and killer and all that sort of thing can have that. And those of us who believe that we can create the reality of heaven on earth or of a win-win reality or conscious creation of who we are and who we share with and how to do it and what we have, if we start to work in a kind of a different reality, and those realities don't necessarily meet. Now, what do you think of that? We have a little time for you to call in and talk about what you think about the community of consciousness, about human consciousness, about creating your reality, and so on. And the caller, the numbers to call in the U.S. are 877-876-5221. Again, 877-876-5221. And in Canada, it's 888. Call in from Canada. We already had Alexis call in from Canada. How about another one? 888-810-8322. 888-810-8322. And then from anywhere else, call in and do, I suppose there's the international numbers, which if you're international, you know what they are probably. And then they call 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. So what we're really talking about today is conscious creation of reality. And as we've been talking about over the last few weeks, is that change is one of the foundational principles in our spirituality. Change meaning we don't need to be stuck. We need to be responsible for what we're thinking and feeling and evoking from life and constantly change, 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 so we can up the ante and we can build a life that is really much more radiant and much more possible than anything we've had before. Hey, we can do that. It's really thrilling. Now, if a number of people, because a lot of you have seen The Secret, and I just always have this thing to say about that. The Secret, to me, was a wonderful, wonderful movie. And the reason for that, and I know some of its failings, but the reason for that is it sent a wave of possibility through the minds of many, many people to whom it never occurred that they could create the reality. So it was a real wake-up, wasn't it? It was a real tickler, getting a lot of people to go, huh, I guess I better do something about my life. I can actually create the reality I want. Some of those people are people who never thought of that before and live a life that's fairly traditional, responsible, doing what they think is right and blah, blah, but never thinking that they can actually change what's around them by thinking. So The Secret really did a lot of good. And when I hear all these people supposedly in the consciousness mode picking it apart on public television, I go, I think we're a little goofy doing that because heavens, I'd rather not have to market too much more cynicism, limited thought, limited potential. We're marketing a whole lot of it. Let's get out there and market some amazing potential. And The Secret was just one part of it, but it sure went a long way. It went many miles, didn't it? So what I'm saying is that as we wake up and as we realize, not only wake up, but as the energies are moving faster, our changes are faster, our recovery from turmoil is faster, maybe more turmoil is faster, and so on. And all of that is changing the base level activity of the subconscious mind of all human beings. And it's really interesting. So the guides are saying that, and I'll talk a bit about light workers, because they were talking about this recently too, that light workers popped up some years ago. Well, they probably always have been on the planet. But some years back, a whole bunch of us popped up, and we were all kind of a long distance apart from each other, working away, trying to figure out how to get more light going, usually going against the grain of the social structure. And as we grew and developed, and more of them grew and developed, and more were born and grew and developed, then the wave of the light coming to the planet, along with the frequencies going up, got faster and bigger. And the guides have been talking about, we need to be working together now. We need to be moving into community of light. We need to be connecting as much as we can, because we're actually creating a great light shield around the planet, light worker to light worker. We have to be really careful when we pick on each other or judge each other or compete with each other, because that can interrupt that incredible flow. The other part of the incredible flow is the shifting dynamic of the subconscious of many, many beings, so that we can raise the base level of expectation and human nature. We can begin to program a much more unlimited mass consciousness. Do you understand what I'm saying? One of the ways to do it, let me see, look at the time. We have a little bit of time left. If you're going to call in really soon. But one of the ways to add to the changing frequency of the mass consciousness is to find something in yourself. For example, I think the one I picked last week was victim. So let's pick an archetypal energy, like, an energy like God. What do you think of God? This is not a religious exercise here, okay? It's that the word God evokes in some people rage. Why is that? Because it limited them. It made them feel judged. Other people, it evokes a feeling of infinite expansion. And it has a lot to do with our past experience and the social consciousness in which we've evolved, and our archetypes, if you will, or deep subconscious imprints sort of wobble in the face of whatever experiences have gone on. So let's just take a minute all together, the billions of us that are listening to this show, Radiance by Design, at this very moment on Tuesday, almost 5 o'clock West Coast time. Let's take a minute and call up in our body, mind, emotional self all the energy that comes from the word God, from the concept God. Now, it's very interesting. What happens in your body? And what happens in your mind? It's funny, because I haven't done this when I've done so many of these exercises. But right now, my whole heart got constricted. Interesting, isn't it? I'm very spiritual, like all of you are, and I absolutely love my version of what God is. But the imprints and the energies of what happens in your body when you call up such a universal word like that, what's happening in your body? Where in your body do you feel it when you say the word God? Do you feel expanded? Do you feel contracted? Do you feel contracted in the stomach or expanded in the heart? Do your feet feel like they could fly, or do your feet feel like they can't go anywhere? What's happening with you? Why don't you email me what happens, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, E-N-T-W-I-S-T-L-E, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. I'd love to hear your point of view on this. When you bring it up and feel it in your body, I promise you, pay attention, because your body is like a filing cabinet. Which of the file folders do you put your belief and your imprint about God? Tell you what, my feet feel really almost lobotomized. They feel heavy and thick, like they can't go anywhere. And now I'm moving a lot. The energy in my sternum is moving like mad, in my chest area. What's happening in yours? I'm going to look out and see you characters out there who aren't calling in. Somebody's got it really impinging upon the third eye, and it looks like it's pulling and pulling on the third eye, and all down the back of the buttocks and the legs, the thighs. Those are areas in which we hold support and life force. Okay, let me see over here. Someone else has got it in a dizziness kind of place and a very constricted throat. Someone else feels really expanded, especially in the brain. Yeah, this one person feels almost enlightened. So this person has an imprint of God that's really enlightening. Someone else has got a real gut ache and some. Now, the gut, remember, is the power and the subconscious and the karma, all those things together. in the stomach and the gastrointestinal system. And let's see what else I can feel. Somebody's got it in the ears and the back of the neck. Somebody's neck feels like it's just frozen, and the shoulders want to be frozen. What's happening with you as you call up the energy of the word God? Now, call in your guides and angels and ask for help and protection, and exaggerate all the energy that comes from the word God. Now ask your angels and your guides who love you so much. We are always, always loved. Ask for help as we command total release of that imprint now. Total release. And you might feel it shifting slightly or sloughing off your body like a snake skin, or gently just moving around in your body. And again, let's command total release of that energy now. And now let's run a golden light gargle, gluck, 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 all the way through your body. Now we're going to finish with another structure. We're going to do it quickly, so pay attention and then practice this and let me know how it works with you. Up above your head, perhaps a mile and a half, a bright golden ball, just radiant, radiant, radiant. And below your spine, perhaps 10 feet, a golden ball that's radiant. And connect those two balls with a wonderful filament of light. And it's white light, hot, hot filament of light. I see sometimes a kind of greenish gas that's coming off. And then around your waist, a circle of golden balls. And it's about an 8-foot radius away from your body. And from the upper ball to the circle of balls, you drop many, many pink lights. Tiny wee filaments of very hot pink light. And so you've created a canopy, a tent-like structure above. And do the same thing below. Many, many pink strings that go to the ball below. Great, now you're in a structure. You should be able to feel it. And now enclose yourself, your body in there, in a wonderful etheric crystal ball. And it's got soft, more feminine energy. And inside of that ball, there you are. And around you, you place a double tetrahedron. That's a three-sided pyramid pointing upwardly and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And you're inside of it, and it's a diamond shape now. And you spin that. Spin. And as you're sitting in it spinning, you're looking ahead at a wonderful magical screen on which you create little movies of what it is you want to create in your world. For yourself, for others, for the world, for the universe. Just take a minute. Feelings of love for yourself and for others. Your wealth. Your presentations, your creativity. Affairs of the heart. Protection. Advancement. What is it that you're creating? Can you feel it in your body, mind? I'm going to end this show by creating some healing light coming from spirit through me and back out through BBS Radio to all of you, and that you can feel the glow of spirit, and you can call in universal healing light to work through yourself and everyone else. Start with you, because if you can get yourself all together, boy, you just pass it on. Pass it on. So many blessings. Email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I'd love to hear from you. What's up with you? What would you like to hear next week on Radiance by Design? And tune in on Thursday night. I'm working with Jackie Salvitti and her guides and angels, and we're talking about the shadow, digging out some information from our shadow selves, and talk about changing human consciousness. That's what we're doing there on ET healing and explorations of consciousness. So much love and many blessings. I've enjoyed talking to you, and thank you for your calls. We'll see you next week.